Have you ever heard of the Bristol Beats Club?
No. What's that?
Hey, it's Raymond from Britain. You're listening to Bristol Beats Club.
No, because I haven't been here very long. Beach or Beats?
Hey, this is Ben from Fenwick Solar, and you're listening to the Bristol Beats Club.
Bristol Beats Club? Can't say I've never.
Never.
This is Connor from Half Moon Run. You're listening to the Bristol Beats Club.
Have you ever heard of the Bristol Beats Club?
Yes.
Greetings, listener. It's 9 o'clock and it's Wednesday night and you're listening to Burst Radio, and that means you're listening to the Bristol Beats Club playing us in his Valis Alps.
Valis Alps on the Bristol Beats Club 9 till 10 every Wednesday, where we aim to neither offend nor entertain anyone.
Thank you very much for joining us here on Burst Radio. My name is Chris Bilko.
My name is Damien Ruck. Now Chris, what do we do here at the Bristol Beats Club and what have we got coming up on the show?
Two questions, I'll answer the first one first. It was
do it in sequential order, Chris, please.
Of course, I don't want to confuse anyone here. Could be some new listeners out there.
Exactly. Please.
Music-wise, you can expect indie, electro and indie-tronica, as we've just demonstrated there by Valis Alps. That track was called Young, if you're interested. Fantastic band, I think from Australia. Go look them up. And then your second question, what's coming up on the show today, Dame?
Indeed.
Today we've got job interview features, so we'll be talking about anecdotes from hilarious kind of situations you've been in the past that were all related to job interviews.
Yep, looking forward to that very much so. And also, we've got a couple of features, Chris.
We have. Same as last week. I fear these are going to be regular features.
They're good features, Chris. They're good features. I'm sure the listeners are looking forward to them.
We've got How to Confuse a Complexity Scientist, and we've got Desert Island Dicks.
Stay tuned for that. But right now, this is Catfish in the Bottle Man with Kathleen. Kathleen by Catfish in the Bottom End on the Bristol Beats Club. As we mentioned just before, we played you Catfish in the Bottom End. The theme of today's show is job interviews and hilarious anecdotes therein.
And if you have any job interview tales that we should be aware of, you should get in touch with us.
Absolutely. By the usual channels, which is info@bristolbeatsclub.com, or get us on Twitter @BristleBeats.
You know, Dame, you'd think after, what, almost 2 years of doing the show that you wouldn't have to read those off a bit of paper?
I wasn't reading them. I was reading something else.
I saw you glance down. it's info@bristolbeatsclub.com.
We've had this website for 2 years and I still haven't memorised info@thenameofourthing.com.
But there you go. If you were to have a job interview at Bristol Beats Club, you'd probably fail it.
Exactly. You would probably fail it. And I'm going to tell the listeners about a time where I definitely should have failed an interview.
Go on, Chase.
Allow me to set the scene. It was my graduation. I won a prize at my graduation, obviously, for having the highest mark in the year. So I'd have drank...
Yeah, because you're a complexity scientist now, so it alludes to the fact that you were probably quite intelligent in a previous life.
Exactly, yeah. For an undergraduate level, I was like Superman, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I drank quite a lot of champagne. However, that evening, after my graduation party, I had a job interview for a night job at Tesco's.
And this is the highest ranking acoustic engineer at the University of Southampton.
Exactly. I went straight from being essentially the British equivalent of valedictorian in acoustic engineering to interviewing for a night job stacking shelves at Tesco's. What is wrong with society?
It's all because it's run by that man, you know, David something or other.
David something. The real shiny man.
That's the one, the waxwork.
The waxwork, yeah. But anyway, yeah, I rocked up to this interview still wearing, you know, my suit from my graduation. I met up with the Tesco's manager and I was sat in this room and I was like, God, I am very drunk. You know when you don't realise you're that drunk when you're amongst drunk people?
Of course,
so
yeah.
I arrived and I was like, this is really bad.
So did you meet like a receptionist or something, or was it?
No, I just got ushered straight in. Receptionist, this is Tesco's night job. The manager met me at the door and said, right this way. Aced it, Chris.
Aced it.
Yeah, I was working just the next night.
Well, perhaps what it was...
I'm really hungover.
Of course. Yeah, perhaps what it was you just wanted a challenge in the job interview. You thought, this is going to be pretty easy.
Exactly, yeah. I thought, how can I make it more difficult for myself by impairing my cognitive ability?
Why don't I do it blind drunk? Yeah, well, I've got a job interview tale, but I think I'll probably keep the listeners waiting for my tale.
Definitely. Keep them on the edge of their seats.
It's probably time for a bit of music first, and as you're listening to the Bristol Beats Club, it's Indie, Electro and Indietronica, and this number, Damien, is...
This is Amber Run Pilot.
The Bristol Beats Club. Expect to be beaten round the head with a club sandwich.
That was Amber Run on the Bristol Beats Club. And today on the Bristol Beats Club, we are talking about job interviews and hilarious anecdotes therein.
I believe Tash has got in touch with us via the appropriate means, which is at Bristol Beats or info@bristolbeatsclub.com.
Natasha's got an incredible story, actually, that says she's texted in saying that she once did a job interview for her own job that she had been doing already for 1 year and didn't get the job.
I want to know how that works. Why would you interview for your current job? It makes no sense.
Exactly. I guess you may have been maybe doing it on an internship basis, perhaps.
Yeah, like secondment or whatever.
Yeah, or a temporary contract, something like that.
Any more stories like that at Bristol Beats Club on... at Bristol Beats on Twitter or info@bristolbeatsclub.com.
You should have written them down, Chris.
If only I had them written down, I wouldn't be making these errors
Just saying. Anyway, a bit later on, you're going to finally get round to your anecdote that you promised listeners earlier.
And there'll be How to Confuse a Complexity Scientist also.
That's coming right up after Dry the River, Hidden Hand.
Hidden Hand by Dry the River on the Bristol Beats Club. It's 20 past 9 and that means it's time for How to Confuse a Complexity Scientist.
I am confused. We are confused. One complexity.
That's right, Dame. How to Confuse a Complexity Scientist.
One of my favourite times of the week, Chris.
Because you are, of course, a complexity scientist.
I'm a complexity scientist. For all the new listeners, I think we'd better explain exactly what this is about, which is actually quite a difficult thing to do, so good luck with that.
There's a bit of a backstory. So first of all, you're a complexity scientist. You're studying a PhD at Bristol University.
That's what I do.
Yeah, and it's frustrating hearing you talk about your job / university course to people outside of our friendship group, people we meet, you know, out in pubs and stuff.
Exactly, because nobody cares. Because
certainly not.
Nobody understands.
And especially if you've heard it, I would say I've heard you talk about your profession maybe 50, maybe 60 times.
Would you say that people are confused by complexity science?
And this is the reason behind this feature. We're going to get our own back on you, because not only people aren't necessarily confused by it, but like you say, they just don't care. It's just boring. You need to get that through your head.
Yeah, they're definitely confused, Chris. You're just reading the situation. Anyway, explain the game.
Well, the premise behind the game is simple and question and answer format, really.
Why, that's not confusing, Chris.
But, Damien, and here comes the twist. I'm going to ask you two questions in a row. You're going to have to answer the first question in response to the second question. And then I'm going to ask you a third question, and you're going to have to answer the second question. A little bit of a memory test in this question and answer sequence.
So that really does complicate matters.
You did very well last week. 5 out of 5, no passes. Confident this week?
Yeah. Yeah, why not? I don't think you're capable of confusing me, Chris, to be honest.
I've thrown in a question that you may get right. It's a science-related question, and I thought, ooh, does Dame know the answer to that?
Have you thrown in an obscure science question?
It's not obscure, but it'll be largely embarrassing if you don't know the answer. Stop looking at the questions. What do you think you're doing? I saw that little glance there.
Not me, Chris.
Here we go. This is how to confuse a complexity scientist on the Bristol Beats Club. Dame, your first question, who had an encounter with the three bears? And your second question, following his conversion to Islam, former boxer Cassius Clay changed his name by deed poll to what?
Goldilocks.
In 2008, the European Organization for Nuclear Research, commonly known as CERN, built a machine to test different theories of particle physics, known as what?
Muhammad Ali.
Up until 1998, high treason was the only crime that remained punishable under UK law by what? Come on,
Dave. Large Hadron Collider.
He's done it in the channel for documentaries. Supernanny famously turned around the behaviour of dozens of ill-behaved children by threatening them with what?
Death.
Following the death of Reva Steenkamp and a culpable homicide conviction in 2014, the South African justice system sentenced Oscar Pistorius to 5 years where?
I've forgotten the question before.
Fantastic. That's got to be a victory to me.
I've got quite a few there, Chris.
You got quite a few. I think it was 4 out of 5. We'll come back with the results shortly. First, some more music for you.
This is an absolute classic. Teams, Don't Look Back Into the Sun on the Bristol Beats Club, an episode of the Bristol Beats Club in which I have been confused by Chris Bilko's questions.
So I think that leaves it as 1-1, I suppose.
1-1, yeah.
Because you couldn't get the last question.
I'm mortified.
Do you want to recap what happened?
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't watch trash TV like Super Nanny.
So the question that you were actually trying to answer was in the channel for documentaries, Super Nanny famously turned around the behaviour of dozens of ill-behaved children by threatening them with what? Hard questions to read this week, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, the answer might as well have been death.
Might as well have been death. So you...
I've been as good a guess as any.
Obviously, the answer was the naughty step, but the question you were answering was following the death of Reva Steenkamp. What was Oscar Pistorius sentenced to?
If I'd said the naughty step, the studio would have erupted into laughter, I'm sure.
In front of the live studio audience.
In front of the live... Exactly, the live studio audience, which is a half-eaten muffin and a bottle of fridge.
But next week... I don't think we're doing How to Confuse Complexity Scientists next week.
We are, Chris. We got an email back.
We got an email back?
Yeah, should we talk about this on air?
This is something we should talk about off air. So what I'm going to say for the time being is we'll be coming back to you with some more job interview anecdotes very shortly. If you have any, we'll be talking about them all show. We are at BristolBeats on Twitter, or the email address. I'll let you go for that one, Tim.
info@bristolbeatsclub.com. Didn't even look at the paper.
I didn't want to mess it up this time. I was like, I'll just outsource my responsibilities here.
A fine decision, Chris.
What about a number off the Indietronic playlist?
Yeah, why not? This is Fickle Friends with Swim.
Always teaching me how to be. The Bristol Beats Club. The only BBC anybody cares about. No TV license required.
Bristol Beats.
Go. That was Fickle Friends brightening up your evening after what can only be described as the ropiest link in the history of live radio.
We can only apologise, but what I can say is it's provided me with some entertainment. Just because,
sure has. I mean, we just started discussing business.
You sucked the track on, and then you just went, It was just funny. I turned and you had sort of half a chocolate muffin stuffed in your mouth. You just went, oh, we've had an effing nightmare. It was absolutely fantastic. But thank you very much for sticking with us through thick and thin on the Bristol Beats Club 9 till 10. Wednesdays on Burst Radio. Your reward, some job interview anecdotes.
Exactly. That is the theme of today's show. And hopefully, an anecdote that you've got is going to go much better than that previous link.
I have actually. I went for a job interview at a large financial services company when I was still at university. And I sort of sat down. It wasn't a graduate position. So, you know, the kind of airy-fairy graduate type interviews where they go and say, name a time in your past when you've worked as a member of a team. And that was everything that I had sort of prepared for. But this wasn't a graduate position, so you didn't need to actually have a degree to come into this position. I can't even remember what it was. I didn't really want it that much.
You didn't pursue it.
I didn't massively want it, no. And I sat down and he went, so, you're Chris. And I was like, already I could tell by the tone of his voice.
No.
I'm in the wrong place.
What makes you say that?
He said, and I see you study economics, Chris. And I was like, yeah, I was obviously a bit younger, only in my second year of an economics degree. And he went, well, what can you tell me about the Irish economic housing crisis of the 1980s? I thought, is he being serious here? I obviously didn't know anything about this thing.
Did you let out a nervous chuckle?
Yeah, a nervous chuckle. And because, as you know, being an undergraduate yourself, as soon as you start studying, or once being an undergraduate, as soon as you start studying something, you immediately lose interest in the thing that you're studying.
Exactly. I do distinctly remember being very much more interested in your degree than my degree.
But that's just your super, superhuman thirst for knowledge, Dave. So, I obviously deflected this since I didn't know anything about it. I was like, oh, I've got more interest in microeconomic issues, which is another branch of economics for the non-economists listening, which I'd imagine is quite a few of you. And he said, microeconomics, eh? Well, what can you tell me about the 83-88 food famine of Ethiopia? It's like, is this guy for real? And obviously I didn't know anything about that either. I may as well have left then.
Yeah, is this guy, was he just happened to be the most knowledgeable economist of all time sat in the room?
What I think happened is he didn't have a degree and he probably wanted a degree in economics and just went, yeah, well, I'm gonna get this young kid coming in stealing our jobs. But,
well, incidentally, Chris, I would have had a detailed answer to both of those questions.
Of course you would, studying my degree more so than I studied my degree.
However, I have no idea. I know nothing about Super Nanny. So things balance themselves out, don't
Which
they?
Is where I spent my time at university, brushing up on the facts. And that's for you guys, the Bristol Beats Club listeners, who incidentally can get in touch with us about job interview related anecdotes. We'd love you to, in fact.
Indeed. And an exciting thing coming up, Chris, and that is after this next track by Cash and David, we are going to be playing Desert Island Dicks.
Is it? It's that time already?
It's time for Desert Island Dicks.
Time does go by quickly when you're confusing complexity scientists.
Indeed. But yeah, this is Bones by Cash and David. That was Cash and David Bones on the Bristol Beats Club as we get ready to play Desert Island Dicks. Well, that jingle means it is time for Desert Island Dicks on the Bristol Beats Club. Are you looking forward to it, Chris?
Do you know, I loved it last week, and I've loved it in previous weeks, even when our show hasn't aired, playing Desert Island Dicks.
Indeed. For the sake of all you listeners that have not yet tuned in to the Bristol Beats Club until this very week.
And perhaps also the Burst Committee, who think we're probably just sat here swearing and want to ban us from the airwaves.
Exactly. In some circles, the word dick could be considered a swear word. However, once you know the premise of the game, you will not think that. I am going to give my Afro and Chris Bilko a series of choices between two famous dicks. And he has got to decide which of these dicks he wants to spend eternity on a desert island with. Simple.
I think you've explained that very succinctly.
Thank you. I've been working on it. I'm take this radio business very seriously.
it's almost like you've read it from a script or something.
Exactly. I did not, Chris. Stop accusing me of this.
The thing is, people can't see, so I can accuse you of it. Why are you just sat there in your pants, Dan? Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, put your shirt back on. Chris, are you ready to play Desert Island Dicks this week?
I would love nothing more than to play Desert Island Dicks.
Here we go. So, Chris, your first choice is the following. Either the doctor present at the death of George Washington, Elijah C. Dick. Or...
there's an obscure dick.
Or the actual real person, author and playwright, Richard Head.
That's not a real person. Richard Head.
It's a real person. Just between me and you, Chris, this isn't the only person called Richard Head that I found on the internet today.
So we've got... right, you're going to have to... Because obviously they're quite comical names, I drifted off.
Okay, you've got to choose between one of these people you must spend eternity on a desert island with. One, the doctor present at the death of George Washington, Elijah C. Dick. Or the actual real person, author and playwright, Richard Head.
I mean, initial thoughts, obviously the doctor, because...
You're likely to have a medical emergency at some point.
Probably a leopard might eat my leg and I'd need a doctor to sort that out.
Exactly. Between now and eternity, the end of eternity, you're likely to have a medical emergency.
Yeah, multiple, in fact, given the way I've treated my body over the last few years.
Exactly, but maybe bear in mind this is like an 18th century doctor.
So, right.
So maybe is a bit...
Amputation.
What are you doing with that axe?
Yeah, and the other guy's a playwright, so could probably keep me entertained. I'm still going to go with the Doctor. The Doctor all the way on that one.
I think that's a safe
a clear
bet.
Choice. I mean, and also, but it would be quite comical living with someone called Richard Head, wouldn't it?
It would be, but Chris, this isn't the only person called Richard
There's
Head.
There's another man called Richard. Go on, please.
Anyway, your second choice. Who would you rather live on a desert island for eternity with? The famous whale, Moby Dick, or bloodthirsty biblical whaler, Jonah?
I have a few problems with this.
Go on.
Can whales live on desert islands?
This whale can. This whale's fictional.
Okay.
It could live in the shallows.
I guess they could circle.
Could be a small whale.
Catch me some fish. Both could catch me fish. There's not a lot to choose between these two, as they're both whales.
Exactly. But don't have them both, because Jonah would attempt to kill poor old Moby Dick.
So who are... I don't... To be honest, I'm going to confess now, I've not read Moby Dick.
No, me neither.
Well, you've done the research. Who is... What's Moby Dick?
The only thing I know about Moby Dick is that he's a fictional white whale from a book.
Okay. Prize-worthy, probably.
And he has Dick in his name.
The second whale?
The second one isn't a whale. It's Jonah. It's biblical.
I'm so sorry.
The biblical character Jonah, who famously got swallowed by a whale. I said here he's a whaler, but I don't think Jonah did try and kill the whale. I think that was a different character from the book Moby Dick.
Do you know, I think probably the... because I don't know who Jonah is either. I think probably the whale has more use than a serious religious figure on the desert island. Because the whale... not only will this white whale Moby Dick catch me some fish, if I was ever to get rescued... or find some form of civilization again, I think that white whale would fetch a handsome sum.
Definitely, they are rare.
Well, there you go then. Moby Dick all the way. Sorry, Jonah.
Never mind, Jonah. And your final choice. Former American vice president and conservative zealot, Dick Cheney. Mm-hmm. Or David Cameron.
Hey! There he is, Dick Cheney. So give me a bit of background on Dick Cheney, because you called him conservative zealot.
He was the vice president during the entire George Bush administration.
Yes, I recall. Do you know what?
He notoriously fell out with George Bush because George Bush was too progressive for him.
So quite like my sort of poor knowledge of economics and my excellent knowledge of Super Nanny, I know of Dick Cheney because he once featured in an episode of Family Guy. And he was depicted as a horrible, horrible character. But then you've got David Cameron on the other side.
David Cameron and his big shiny head.
David, he would give me entertainment though. I mean, and also, wouldn't he? In fact, could David Cameron would he melt on a desert island? You've got to take these things into consideration. It's going to be hot there, I suppose.
It is kind of difficult to say exactly what he's made of. I don't know. I really don't know.
I'm going to have to go with David Cameron because I think Dick Cheney is like David Cameron, a bit more conservative and also American. So, you know, I don't want to use a stereotype here. I'm absolutely going to use a stereotype. I think he'd be bold and brash and more, you know, trying to impress his views upon me.
He is a zealot.
And Moby Dick even more so than David Cameron would. So, yep, I'm taking Cameron.
And David Cameron may also bring his Smiths records, which he's not allowed to listen to.
Hello, thank you so much. So, it's funny you should say that, actually, Dave. David Cameron would bring his Smiths. How do you know this?
Well, he famously said that he really likes listening to the Smiths. And then as soon as he said that in public, both Morrissey and Johnny Marr banned him from ever listening to the Smiths.
Did they ever use a Smiths sort of track over a Conservative campaign or something? Did that happen?
I can't imagine that would be allowed.
Either way, I'm taking David Cameron, I'm taking Moby Dick, and I'm taking not the guy called Richard Head.
You're taking the Dr. President of the Death of George Washington, Elijah C. Dick.
And then I'm just hoping that Moby Dick bites off David Cameron's leg and the doctor comes in and just amputates his whole body.
What else would an 18th century doctor do?
I'd have no comfort. Fantastic. Yeah, it sounds all good. Excellent. That's another episode of Desert Island Dicks done and dusted.
Marvellous. More job interview stories coming up soon, but right now this is Fossils by Circa Waves. That was Circa Waves and Alt J on the Bristol Beats Club.
Back-to-back tracks, the first of the evening, and that's because we're running out of time.
We are running out of time, but there's just enough time for our becoming a bit of a tradition where we ask a bit of a hypothetical question on the theme of the week's show, which is this week job interviews.
Yeah, so we've heard about a few people. We've heard about you turning up drunk to your job interview. We've also heard about me getting grilled at a job interview. We've had, I think, Tash, she was turned down
for her own job.
But Dane, I put it to you, if you had to do one of the following in a job interview scenario, because they're tense, aren't they, job interview? Unnatural.
Nobody likes being there.
One-on-one in a room, or worse, one-on-two, or one-on-three. It's awkward. It's very awkward.
It is.
Now, there's a pause as the interviewer, goes to interchanges between the questions. They've looked down and they're about to ask you, tell me about a time when you've worked in a team. There's a pause and it's complete silence in the room. And at that point, do you either sneeze, but then emit quite a lot of snot with the sneeze?
A snot sneeze.
Or let one rip.
A guffrey, a fart.
There we go, a fart. I mean, what would you pick out? I mean, both awful, of course.
Admittedly, Kriya, neither are ideal when a job interview
and you
situation.
Have to, you can't just run out the door immediately after. You've got to stay there and you've got to continue the interview.
I'm going to go with fart.
You're going with fart?
Because you haven't specified whether... Because it could easily be a quiet one, which maybe they haven't heard.
Okay.
And then, you know, although the smell is being emitted and is in the room, who's to say it was you?
Okay.
Let's say that there's two people.
I thought it was implied. I thought it was implied that...
It has to be a loud one.
No, it doesn't have to be a loud one, but it's a one-on-one interview.
You just said it could be sometimes one-on-one.
Okay, it has to be a loud one. Because I'm going snot sneeze.
Okay, it has to be one-on-one.
I'm going snot sneeze all the way.
Okay, so they know.
They know. I mean, because realistically, if you sneeze, you haven't got any tissues or anything like that, but You can get rid of it quite easily, can't you?
But what if it goes all down your suit or on the table or something?
The table, that would be awful.
But all over their papers they've got laid out in front of them.
In that instance, if you're going to impose that on me...
We're just imposing limits here.
I mean, they're both awful, aren't they? Realistically, the only conclusion to this is you're not going to get that job. If you go in and behave that inappropriately, there's no way.
I think that's fair.
But you still have to... I'm still going to force you to choose them.
I'm going to go with fart simply because there's no mucus involved.
It will dissipate. There's no...
Exactly. And not all... Most interviews aren't one-on-one. Come on, let's face it.
I think we can all agree, yeah, fart is the way to go. I think it's a sentence I never thought I'd say, at least not on the radio.
A fart is the way to go. Right, well, that's it, Chris.
That concludes the Bristol Beats Club, 9 to 10 Wednesdays on Burst Radio for another week.
Yeah, but please tune in next week where our theme will be festival stories.
And all you podcast listeners, you don't need to be listening live to get involved. Just send your tales across to info@bristolbeatsclub.com, or you can get us on Twitter.
Yeah, at Brizzle Beats, which I've memorised.
Next week, the podcast will be up halfway through. It'll be up on Saturday morning next week, though.
Which you can now get on iTunes.
Hello!
Hello, iTunes.
Look at us going up in the world. We were manually approved to be part of iTunes.
It is manual? Definitely manual.
It is manual. It is. Because even when you have to buy an iPhone, you know, Apple are so exclusive that you have to be manually approved for that. I had to grow a beard and don glasses to say, yeah, I want an iPhone.
Do you have to go to a job interview? Did you snot sneeze?
I said, that's quite enough of that. Subscribe to us via iTunes. Next week we'll be talking about Tales from Music Festivals. We'll also have our brand new feature, Let's Kick Sexism Out of Rap Music.
How bloody exciting.
All that to look forward to. We'll see you again Wednesday, 9 till 10.
Please enjoy Crystal Castles, Not in Love.
Don't forget to subscribe at bristolbeatsclub.com and follow us on Twitter @BrizzleBeats.